Hey guys, Lane from Tripod here. If you've been tripodding, whether alone or with friends, one, stay safe, and two, take a second and write us a review. I checked, and some of you are actually doing it, which is amazing because it really helps keep the show growing. So jump on iTunes and give us some stars and some words. Thank you. Okay. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson. Part one of this story was about the proposed Riverfront Expressway through the French Quarter and along the Mississippi River. That leg of the highway did not happen, and the French Quarter was saved from being demolished under a freeway. But that same year, 1968, a different section of the Riverfront Expressway did go up. What was under that part? The Tremaine neighborhood. More specifically, Claiborne Avenue.
Oak trees line the neutral ground, businesses and homes, churches. So it was like a real neighborhood.
This is Dodie Smith Simmons, a local civil rights activist. We're walking along Claiborne today with the freeway overhead, which is why it's kind of loud.
This is the oyster house, Lavada's, that had the best oysters in the city. My classmates and I would put in and buy a loaf and divide it between four or five people. And you still had a nice sandwich.
And now what is it?
A parking lot. A lot of places are gone.
To make the highway happen, the state had to acquire 155 individual properties along Claiborne between Tulane Avenue and St. Bernard Avenue. The state also cleared over 200 oak trees. In 1950, there were 123 businesses in this section, and almost 50 years later, just 44. One business that still does stand after a post-Katrina comeback is the Circle Food Store. Dodie grew up in the Ninth Ward, but like people all over New Orleans, her family still came to the Tremaine to make groceries.
Anything you needed, you could find at the Circle Food Store. Vendors would come in and sell their produce, their livestock, chickens and turtles and whatever. And I have not been in the Circle Food Store since it has reopened.
You want to go in?
Yes. Wow. It didn't look like this back then. Oh, this is wonderful.
You want to walk around a little?
Yes.
Being in Circle Food reminded Dodie of the other major reason her family came to this part of town.
Back in the old days, Zulu and the Indians were not a part of Mardi Gras, a white Mardi Gras, I should say. It was a part of Black Mardi Gras. And Black Mardi Gras happened on Claiborne Street. We did not go to Canal Street.
Or St. Charles Avenue, or pretty much anywhere else white people were celebrating. The freeway overhead was called the Bridge. Others called it the Monster.
So when the bridge went up, did this Black Mardi Gras that you're talking about stop on Claiborne?
It wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. Like all of the overhead noise we heard, you heard back then. Yeah.
Nice, huh?
Yeah, right on time. And
as Dodie started to describe, Claiborne was home to the longest single strand of oak trees in the country. It was also known for its azalea bushes and a neutral ground so wide people played football, baseball, all the sports. It was a grand avenue and a place of pride and belonging for the Black population, especially at a time when they weren't welcome in the neighboring French Quarter unless they were on the job. Dodie says it's hard to imagine an area of the city that was more significant to the Black community.
There were people protesting the bridge being built in this neighborhood, but it was just a minority. This is white versus Black, Black versus white. And in the South, if you're Black, you're not gonna win. So this was something white folks want. That's what they got.
You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson.
I was a young man at that time, and we were just shocked.
This is Louis Charbonnet, sitting around a table at Dookie Chase Restaurant in the Tremaine with Lambert Boissier and Edgar Chase III, a.k.a. Lil Dookie. His parents, Leah and Dookie Jr., still run the business. Speaking of businesses, Louis and Lambert both owned funeral homes on Claiborne. Here's Lambert.
We had a funeral home on Dumaine in Claiborne, but my brother's over at the Charbonnet. Now, we're friendly competitors and in-laws, so...
So it's a family affair.
Wow.
I mean, not sure we're not kin otherwise.
Lambert's funeral home closed some years after the interstate went up due to a fire. Charbonnet-Labatt Funeral Home is still up and running.
Well, we've been in business since 1883. We're the 10th oldest African-American funeral home in the country, and we survived that because we were half a block off of Claiborne.
These guys ran businesses along flower shops, insurance companies,
coffee houses, hardware stores, drug stores. They were just any kind of business you could imagine was on Claiborne Avenue. I mean, on a Sunday afternoon, this is the place to be.
I'm Dookie, and I'd like to add the fact that there were a lot of benevolent associations there, societies that helped people pay for things that they couldn't afford.
Inseparable Friends, Juniper Tears, Jean Zamin. Used to be all those little society places that gave you money when you went to the hospital. The neighborhood fed on each other.
Lewis says what was a mecca of black-owned businesses was all of a sudden scattered around the city.
When you uproot something, it's hard to plant it someplace else and for it to survive.
So there were all these business owners and a strong, supportive community. So why couldn't the project be stopped?
We tried to organize some opposition to it, but it just wasn't enough.
It fell on deaf ears, Lewis says. There were only two or three black people in local government, and without that representation...
You got stuck with what came your way. The interstate became a reality because of the haves and have-nots, and the have-nots got stuck with the interstate.
Within the system, there was essentially no one in government to defend the black community and communicate the cultural and economic necessity of keeping Claiborne intact. And outside the system, those who were active political organizers were busy with more pressing things.
It wasn't something that New Orleans Core, maybe the NAACP too, were not focusing on this.
How come?
Well, because we're focusing on the five and dime store, their restaurants, then it was the Freedom Ride.
Yep, that's Doty casually mentioning her being slightly preoccupied with the Freedom Ride. Doty was a member of the local chapter of the NAACP and then CORE, Congress of Racial Equality. In the mid-60s, they were working to end segregation, for the right to walk into any restaurant they wanted, go to any school they wanted, and feel safe no matter where they stood. Here's Lewis.
To worry about trees and flowers and grass was not our main interest at the time, but we were worried about what was going to happen to our children, to us.
He says by the time they realized how bad the interstate would be for the neighborhood, it was too late. This caused the black community to organize in a new way. It made them say,
this will never happen to us again. And as a result, we've gotten blacks elected to positions that can represent the part of the city they live in.
Like Lewis, who was elected a city rep in 1970, and Lambert, who was elected to city council in 81, then went to state senate in 99, and finally the constable's office in 2001, where he still is now.
Institutional racism is a factor that we have to face in the United States of America.
That's Dookie.
People don't know that they are making decisions based upon race. It's unconscious that they are, but the power that they have tends to favor those who look like them. Mm-hmm. Power doesn't flow to those who really need it, but it flows to those who are a certain color, who already have the power.
The idea of removing the interstate has been discussed since it went up and regained traction again after Hurricane Katrina. Some people, including many Mardi Gras Indians and Doty, don't think removing the interstate will bring back what once was and may even further gentrification throughout the Treme. But others dream of seeing the day it comes down.
It was a hot subject at the time. It's going to be a hot subject continuously until that thing comes down.
When we're both around, all three of us are around 2026, we'll be driving down the Claiborne Avenue.
Historic,
yeah. Yes, historic, with the tree lines, the flowers, the azalea bushes. It would be our glorious 2 miles. Huh?
Tripod is a production of WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio, in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the University of New Orleans Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies. Special thanks to Evan Christopher for the opening theme music. Catch Tripod on the air Thursdays during Morning Edition and again on Mondays during All Things Considered. You can listen to Tripod anytime, anywhere by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. You can also go to WWNO.org, where you can see Claiborne before the interstate in all its oak and azalea glory. Tripod's also on Instagram and Twitter. If you don't know, now you know, @TripodNola. Hit us up. Also, big thanks to Emma Long for research and production assistance this week. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson.
And I'm Emma Long, and I'll Tripod you later.